Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Here is a special announcement. Today is Tuesday, and not, as is announced in today's Sunday Telegraph, Friday. And now, a repeat of last Thursday's performance of Monday Night is Music Night.
It's time again for Evening Under Lamplight here on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and I'll be trying to get a handle on the difficult Japanese concept of mono no aware, attending to the feel of this artistic mood and bringing in examples from our literature and music. I hope I can open up this mood well enough that you can feel its powerful beauty. And of course, as I attend to this, you are invited to attend too. But first, let's have a little announcement. As part of the changes in Cambridge 105 Radio's autumn scheduling, the next show of Evening Under Lamplight on Wednesday, 12th September, will be broadcast not at 10 o'clock, but an hour later at 11 o'clock p.m. I hope that's a convenient time for you. What it will mean for me is coming out of the darkened building at midnight into our car park right next to the Mill Road Cemetery. As I remember from earlier times when the show ended at midnight, this can be a bit eerie if I stop and think about it. And there was one time long ago when I was closing up the studio at midnight, listening to the syndicated radio drama that we used to broadcast then, and it was a horror drama. We heard a car driving along, and suddenly the woman in the car said, "What was that?" "What was what?" said her companion. "That noise. Did you hear it?" No, I didn't hear anything." And then we heard a distant, echoey sound, just briefly, but certainly noticeable and certainly feeling threatening. "That noise again," she cried. "I don't know what that noise was," he replied, "but I don't like the way the engine is behaving out here on this deserted country road." Okay, by this time I had turned out the lights and was ready to lock up the building. It was just a radio drama, but I let it seep into me. That's half the fun of this, isn't it? And then went out into the deserted car park. That night, the lights in the car park weren't working, so it was dark and wintry, and only a few feet across to my car, but the wind was blowing the trees over the wall in the cemetery. What a thrill, that feeling of fear cushioned by the knowledge that this was mostly just my imagination, and then I was safe in the car, headed down Guida Street. Okay, so we're changing our time slot, and that will signal the end of Series 5 of Evening Under Lamplight. Series 5 began with episode 168 just over a year ago at the beginning of August. Series 4 had taken us through Dante's Inferno over 15 months, and when we finished that, we moved on to a miscellaneous series featuring shows attending to a variety of themes, many of them from myths and fairy tales. You can find all the archived shows on our website, momentsunderlamplight.co.uk, clicking on the Evening Under Lamplight link. So, Series 5 ends this evening. What Series 6 will bring? Well, I don't know exactly. We'll all just have to wait and see what turns up. Suggestions, as always, are welcome to me at lamplight@cambridge105.co.uk. That's an email address, as you know. And now, on with the show. I recently had a message from Steve in Japan, a former student, wondering if I'd ever thought about the Japanese idea of mono no aware, mono no aware, and wondering what a show on that theme would be like. Good idea, Steve, and I'm happy to oblige with this evening's Evening Under Lamplight attending to the concept of mono no aware. We'll all attend to it. Mono no aware, that's A-W-A-R-E, spelled like aware, which is interesting since, like so many of the Japanese aesthetic concepts, it's all about being aware of the mood and atmosphere around us and within us, created by the natural world and by the world of art. I call it an aesthetic concept. That suggests that it has something to do with the appreciation of a kind of beauty to be found in our world. Several years ago, we did a show on another one of these Japanese aesthetic moods, wabi-sabi, and another two shows attended to the lesser-known concept of ainoma. Maybe I'll bring them back again sometime. But like all these Japanese terms, mono no aware is very difficult to define or understand. But that may be because it's not something that we are meant to understand or define, but something for us to experience. So all I can do here is talk around it and try to evoke some of the mood for us here, so we too can be aware of aware. One source translates the phrase as an intense feeling of things. Another as things that touch the heart. But there are lots of things that we feel intensely and lots of things that touch the heart. Another attempt to explain it says that it is an awareness of impermanence. Yes, it's that kind of intense feeling. It has to do with impermanence, with a gentle sadness arising from our awareness that all things pass, nothing lasts, and yet also with a peaceful contentment that arises from the act of awareness, our aesthetic distance from the sad feelings. There's a feeling of liberation, too, as we let go of the things of the world and thus free ourselves from the chains of clinging on to things that will not last. So we both feel the sadness and at the same time stand back and appreciate the beauty, both in and out of the game, as Walt Whitman put it. Alan Watts, always a good person to go to for these things, gives us the image of looking back at a banqueting hall after the guests have gone. All the rumpled napkins, dirty wine glasses and plates, and chairs pushed back from the tables, all this reminds us of the joyful occasion that has now, alas, passed away. But our awareness that it has gone, without regret, without nostalgia, this gives us a kind of pleasant feeling. We sigh deeply, smile as we say goodbye to that moment in our life and pass on. And there may also be an element of gratitude, thankfulness, that, though passing, these things are here now to appreciate. We are sighing rather than weeping. It would be good to have an example about now. Here's the song that started going through my head as soon as I began thinking about this topic. It just came to me, that Mono no Aware mood arising from my musical memory. It's the Jefferson Airplane in their great prime from Surrealistic Pillow, a very evocative album, at least for me, and I know for others too. The song is Coming Back to Me. It seems at first to be celebrating not the losses that time brings, but the regaining of precious things. He's looking out the window and sees her coming back to him. This should be an occasion for joy, but it turns into a moment of mono no aware. Let's attend to the words and then attend to the way the music, so evocative, enhances the intense feeling of things, the beauty shining through the sadness of things. It opens with a sense of the change of the seasons, always a mono no aware moment, the transience of time, the year moving on. But here there's something amiss, it seems. The summer had inhaled and held its breath too long. The winter looked the same as if it had never gone. And through an open window where no curtain hung, that plain, simple window, no decoration, no curtain to block our observation, the window that allows us to see what is going on in the world, yet also to stand back and appreciate it. And through an open window where no curtain hung, I saw you coming back to me. One begins to read between the pages of a look, the shape of sleepy music, and suddenly you're hooked. Through the rain upon the trees, that kisses on the run, I saw you coming back to me. You came to stay and live my way, scatter my love like leaves in the wind. Another Mono no Aware favorite, leaves blown in the wind. You always say you won't go away, but I know what it always has been. It always has been. That is, he knows that no matter how earnestly she says she won't go away, she will nevertheless go away. That's the nature of things, the impermanence, which overshadows her returning to him and tinges it all with sadness. A transparent dream beneath an occasional sigh. Most of the time, I just let it go by. Now I wish it hadn't begun. Yes, too bad, alas, it has begun. First regaining, then the inevitable losing. I saw you coming back to me. Strolling the hills, overlooking the shore, I realize I've been here before. The shadow in the mist could have been anyone. Shadows and mists, more aware images, things we cannot grasp, things that elude us. I saw you coming back to me. Small things like reasons are put in a jar. Whatever happened to wishes wished on a star? Was it just something that I made up for fun? I saw you coming back to me.
Thank you. The summer had inhaled and held its breath too long. The winter looked the same as if it never had gone. And through an open window where no curtain hung, I saw you. I saw you coming back to me. One begins to read between the pages of a look, the shape of sleepy music, and suddenly you're hooked. Through the rain upon the trees that kisses on the run, I saw you. I saw you coming back to me. If you came to stay and live my way, scatter my love like leaves in the wind. You always say you won't go away, but I know what it always has been. It always has been a transparent dream beneath an occasional sign. Most of the time I just let it go by. Now I wish it hadn't begun. I saw you. Yes, I saw you coming back to me. Strolling the hills, overlooking the shore, I realize I've been here before. The shadow in the mist could have been anyone. I saw you. I saw you coming back to me. Small things like reasons are put in a jar. Whatever happened to wishes wished on a star? Was it just something that I made up for fun? I saw you. I saw you coming back to me.
Mononoaware mood of Jefferson Airplane with Coming Back to Me, an intense feeling of impermanence as it touches the heart. So, Mononoaware is about the sadness that comes from things passing away, dying off, moving on, and the sense of peaceful pleasure when we stand back a bit from that sadness and see what is beautiful in it. Many of the classic Japanese poems called haikus convey this mood. Here's one. Leaves falling lie on one another, the rain beats on the rain. Falling leaves, like the leaves blowing in the wind in the Jefferson Airplane song, are ideal images for Mononoaware, since not only are they departing, falling from the tree, blowing away down the road, But they also remind us that the season itself is departing. The bright colours of the autumn leaves before they fall are a little different. They, the bright colours, they're exhilarating rather than melancholy. Though if we stopped to attend more carefully, we could feel the aware mood. The vibrant yellows, oranges and reds are short-lived. And their very presence should remind us that very soon they will turn into shades of brown, dried up and withering on the ground or crushed into dust. All gone. Americans focus, as we might expect, on the excitement, not the aware, as the media every year loudly announce when the best weekend will be for driving up to New England to see the spectacle. American culture always has a hard time dealing with the sadness of passing time. Well, come on, not always. In fact, one of the most Mono no aware poems I know was written by an American, a New Englander, in fact, Emily Dickinson. I used this poem on my CD Journey Through the Seasons, but instead of playing the whole Harvest track for you this evening under lamplight, I'll just present this poem for us to attend to. As imperceptibly as grief, the summer lapsed away. Too imperceptible at last to seem like perfidy. A quietness distilled as twilight long begun, or nature spending with herself sequestered afternoon. The dusk drew earlier in, the morning foreign shone, a courteous yet harrowing grace as guest that would be gone. And thus, without a wing or service of a keel, our summer made her light escape into the beautiful. We heard extracts from a piece by Yoshinao Nakata called Japanese Autumn Song, giving us a mono no aware mood to surround Emily Dickinson's poem. The poem itself is very delicate. There is movement in it, the movement of time passing, transience, but it is imperceptible. We cannot perceive the changes with our senses. We can only feel them. That shift from summer into autumn can seem like perfidy, the warm weather betraying us by going away. But the shift is so gradual that, no, we feel no perfidy here. The shift is as gentle as a long twilight, or like that sequestered afternoon when nature sort of retires into a private room, or let's say to a rocking chair on an unoccupied veranda to pass those long, quiet hours before dinner, just sitting, reminiscing or daydreaming without any disturbances. There's a whole Mono no Aware drama being painted for us here. Or consider the suggestion that certain late summer mornings come to us like a guest who wants to leave but is too courteous to come out and say so. These are images of lingering or lapsing away, not quite standing still, but moving on so gradually we are aware of no motion. Not like a bird on the wing, not like a boat with its keel, but just somehow before our eyes, our summer made her light escape into the beautiful. That's Mono no Aware, the melancholy of time moving on and of loss, but leaving us at last with this sense of the beauty of it all. And look, time is passing away for us here, too. We're about halfway through the show, which means it's time to remind you that you're listening to Evening Under Lamplight with Robert Louis Abrahamson on Cambridge 105 Radio, as we attend to the Japanese aesthetic of Mono no Aware. You are invited to attend, or as Neil Henry puts it more eloquently,
when the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend. Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. When the day comes to an end, he invites you... No. When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend. It's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. It's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you, Neil Henry. Now let's move over to this song, which I think everyone can identify from the opening few seconds, an iconic English song from the iconic English Kinks. No introduction, you should be able to feel the Mono no Aware throughout the song.
They are in paradise.
Waterloo Sunset's fine. Sunset is a classic Mono no Aware setting, and again we see the singer looking out of the world through his window. Now, as the chilly, chilly evening time comes on, it's the loneliness, the sabi, that gives the song its extra resonance. And yes, why not? Let's have another Mono no Aware Kinks song. Here's one that's not so well known from the 1972 album Everybody's in Showbiz. The passing of time takes a different form here as Ray Davis attends to the way fame passes away, leaving only imprints in concrete on Hollywood Boulevard. And after all, what is more transitory than showbiz celebrity? Those who are successful, he says, be always on your guard. Success walks hand in hand with failure along Hollywood Boulevard. Settle back for more intense Mono no Aware with Celluloid Heroes.
Everybody's in movies, doesn't matter who you are. There are stars in every city, in every house and on every street. And if you walk down Hollywood Boulevard, their names are written in concrete. Don't step on Greta Garbo as you walk down the boulevard. She looks so weak and fragile, that's why she tried to be so hard. But they turned her into a princess, and they sat her on a throne. But she turned her back on stardom, because she wanted to be alone. You can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood. Some that you recognize, some that you've hardly even heard of. People who worked and suffered and struggled for fame. Some who succeeded and some who suffered in vain. He's liable to turn and bite. But stand close by Betty Davis, because hers was such a lonely life. If you covered him with garbage, George Saunders would still have style. And if you stamped on Mickey Rooney, he would still turn round and smile. But please don't tread on dear. She was only made of flesh and blood. You can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood Boulevard. Some that you recognize, some that you hardly even heard of. People who worked and suffered and struggled for fame. And some who suffered in vain. Everybody's a dreamer, and everybody's a star, and everybody's in showbiz, and doesn't matter who you are. And those who are successful, be always on your guard. Success walks hand in hand with failure along Hollywood Boulevard. I wish my life was a non-stop Hollywood movie show. A fantasy world of celluloid films and heroes. Because celluloid heroes never feel any pain. And celluloid heroes never really die. You can see all the stars as you walk along. Because celluloid heroes never feel any pain. And celluloid heroes never really die.
We don't usually get humor in these Japanese aesthetics. But I think Ray Davis' humor here fits, since it's tinged with such wistfulness, such pathos. Did you catch that bit about Rudolph Valentino, who looks very much alive as he looks up ladies' dresses as they sadly pass him by? Followed by the warning to avoid stepping on Bela Lugosi, who played Dracula, because he's liable to turn and bite. But stand close by Betty Davis, because hers was such a lonely life. That touch of humor followed by that almost unbearable sorrow for Betty Davis and her lonely life. So much for her stardom. It all passes into nothing. And the ironic contrast of brittle celluloid and the apparently but not really permanent concrete. They are in concrete, but most of the names are now, alas, forgotten. Or if the names are remembered, what good does it do for these poor people who are themselves gone? What does their fame mean to them now? Celluloid heroes, yeah, they never really die. But we know they do, don't we? Okay, let's move on now to another song that, at least for me, communicates the Mono no Aware mood. It's a Sandy Denny song with the Fairport Convention. Who Knows Where the Time Goes, from the 1969 album Unhalfbricking. We begin with the mystery of impermanence as, across the evening sky, all the birds are leaving. But how can they know it's time for them to go? No, the birds have no idea that winter's coming on. They just go without thinking about it. So much for the birds, but what about us humans? We feel the loss of the birds and of the summer as we see them flying off in the evening, with the loss of the day as well. And now, before the winter fire, she sings, I will still be dreaming. I have no thought of time. She's like the birds. She does not concern herself with abstractions like time, but just the experience of all these changes around her and the comfort of a good fire on a winter's day. For after all, who knows where the time goes? And the answer is, of course, no one. There's always the loss, as on the sad, deserted shore, your fickle friends are leaving. But you accept that loss. The acceptance is an essential part of Mono no Aware. I will still be here, she says. I have no thought of leaving. No thought of leaving. When it's time for her to leave, she'll just know it, like the birds, and will leave without rationalizing about it. At the moment, she is not alone while my love is near me, but she knows that this will last only until it's time to go. Who? Will she go or will he? Never mind. It's for sure that one of them will go. That's the nature of transient life. But it's not chaotic. There's a pattern created by these changes, perhaps the pattern of the cycle, as we can welcome the storms of winter and then the birds in spring again. I have no fear of time. And why should we? We register the changes, we feel the sadness, which the performance here captures very well, but we also feel the beauty, not any kind of fear. See what I mean.
Deserted shore, your fickle friends are leaving. Oh, but then you know it's time for them to go. I have no thought.
Fairport Convention, who knows where the time goes? And if we were going to be cute, we might say, who indeed knows where the time has gone this evening under lamplight, because we're coming up towards the end of the show, and I have one last song to share. Let's go to Bob Dylan. Many of his later songs carry the Mono no Aware mood, but it occurred to me that one of the early songs can open up in a new way for us if we attend to it in the context of Mono no Aware. I mean, Visions of Johanna. Maybe that Mono no Aware quality defines what makes this song so important, so moving to so many of us. Visions of Johanna is all about impermanence and loss. All the images that pass through the song, and at the end, these visions of Johanna are now all that remain. Only a vision, a haunting memory or expectation, but nothing substantial left to him. Not Johanna, certainly, just a nothing. He might as well be waiting for Godot. And those images themselves that people the song, they give us no certainty, no stability. Mono no Aware growing in intensity. Attend to some of these images. Louise holds her hand full of rain. Lights flicker in the opposite loft. The country music station plays soft, probably songs about lonesome cowboys or lovers gone away. Louise and her lover so entwined, which only reminds us that Johanna is just a vision. She's not here. The ghost of electricity howls in the bones of her face. The empty cage now corrodes. It all comes to an end, like, of course, this evening's Evening Under Lamplight, so I'll just say goodbye now so we can go out with the song itself. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson. This is Cambridge 105 Radio, and thanks for attending. Remember that next time, September 12th, we'll be going out an hour later at 11 o'clock. Come back then. Now, let's hear the live version of Visions of Johanna from the 1966 Royal Albert Hall concert. These Japanese moods require a certain simplicity, and Dylan's pared-down performance with just voice and guitar gives us this. And then there are those extended final syllables that linger the lines before they too have to pass away in time.
Just like the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet. We sit here stranded, though we all do our best to deny it. And Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it. Lights flicker from the opposite loft. In this room, the heat pipes just cough. The country music station plays soft, but there's nothing, really nothing to turn off. Just Louise and her lover so entwined. These visions of Johanna that conquer my mind. In the empty lot where the ladies play, blind man's bluff with the keychain. And the all-night girls, they whisper of escapades out on the D-train. We can hear the night watchman click his flashlight, ask himself if it's him or them who should be insane. But Louise, she's alright, she's just near. She's delicate, she seems like the mirror. But she just makes it all too concise and too clear that Johanna's not here. The ghost of electricity howls in the bones of her face, where these visions of Johanna have now taken my place. Little boy lost, he takes himself so seriously. He brags of his misery. He likes to live dangerously. And when bringing her name up, he speaks of her farewell kiss to me. He sure got a lot of gall to be so useless and all, muttering small talk at the wall while I'm in the hall. Oh, how can I explain? It's so hard to get on. And these visions of Johanna, they'd kept me up past the dawn. Inside the museums, infinity is going up on trial. Voices echo, this is what salvation must be like after a while. But Mona Lisa must have had the highway blues. You can tell by the way she smiles. See the primitive wallflower freeze when the jelly-faced women all sneeze. Hear the one with the mustache say, geez, I can't find my knees. Jewels and binoculars hang from the head of the mule, but these visions of Johanna, they make it all seem so cruel. The peddler now speaks to the countess who's pretending to care for him, saying, name me somebody that's not a parasite, and I'll go out and say a prayer for him. But like Louise always says, you can't look at much, can you, many? She herself prepares for him. And Madonna, she still has not showed. We see this empty cage now corrode, where her cape of the stage once had flown.